This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride and Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
We're back on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, InsideSTL.com. We're sitting in the McBride and Son Home Studios. Want to talk real quick about Rankin Jordan, one of our loyal sponsors. Innovative leaders in physical medicine and rehabilitation, Rankin Jordan. Joining us now on the Winning Streak listener line, we have national radio host and host of the Turn It Loose podcast with KTGR and Columbia's Matt Michaels. It's Will Pelagic. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Randy. It's a pleasure to be back on the air in St. Louis.
Man, I love talking to you. It's good to talk to you. It's you know what? There's a lot of excitement here in St. Louis. Wanted to get your thoughts. You spent a lot of time in Columbia before you went national. What obviously you still do some work with Matt Michaels over in Columbia. What is your thought? What are your thoughts? And what do you think about this hire for Missouri?
Well, in my mind, it's the most defensible hire in a revenue sport that Missouri has made, as far as I can remember. I mean, I know folks will point at some of the questionable moves that he's made as far as, you know, jumping to Tennessee and then jumping to Cal. That would be the only real strike against him. And the fact of the matter is, you can't worry about that if you're Missouri. If you've ever seen the movie The Big Short, you know that Missouri basically had the kind of situation like the Brownfield family had. They did not have a seat at the big boy table of college basketball. They could not get into the rooms of guys like Jason Tatum and players of that ilk. Konzo Martin puts them back at the big boy table, and I think that's not meant to disrespect Kim Anderson or even any of the people who preceded him, but this is a big-time coach. He is a big-time name in the industry. He could bring with him the best basketball player in the country next year in Michael Porter Jr., especially after what happened yesterday with the coaching change involving Lorenzo Romar in Washington. This is a move for Missouri that tells me that Jim Sterk is serious about turning this program around. They zeroed in on one guy, and they got him, and they paid top dollar to get him, which many Missouri fans didn't think was possible just 24 hours ago.
Will Pelagic joining us here on the Winning Streak listener line. Will, my contention with this hire and my friend, you know, I was in a text group with some of my Mizzou alum buddies yesterday as this was all shaking down. And our contention is it's not just about his record. For us, the excitement for us is the building or rebuilding, as it were, of the Columbia and St. Louis relationship.
I think that that's a very key part of what makes this hire unique and what makes it's hard. There aren't that many guys who come from the St. Louis area as coaches who have national success that were attainable for Missouri. And I think that's the thing that makes Konzo Martin such a great fit. And the fact is, you know, there have been more people who have gone who have come from Missouri in high schools around there, not just in St. Louis, but across the state, who have had success at schools not named Missouri. I mean, you go all the way back to, you know, the Bradley Beals, the Tyler Hansbrough, Tatum, all those guys. None of them even sniffed Missouri when they were in high school. And so from that perspective, you need to rebuild whatever relationships were broken by previous administrations, and you need to get in the classrooms of players that basically can be transcended talents. There's too much transcended talent that's leaving the state. I know that football has tried to make that happen as well with Barry Odom, and they're trying to get in the situations that put them in the best possibilities to get in-state recruits. And it's not as necessarily as important in basketball. You need to be able to recruit nationally in basketball, but when so much high-priced talent is leaving your state in a sport like basketball, when one or two players can really make your recruiting class and make your season, that absolutely needs to be repaired, and that's part of the reason why this hire makes so much sense.
Will Pelagic joining us here on the Winning Streak listener line here in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Hey, you mentioned Jim Sterk earlier. I give him an A+ so far. How great has he been since he's gotten to Columbia?
I think he is a very measured guy. I think he brings something different to the table than Mac Rhodes or even Mike Alden did. I think that there was a lot of approachability with him, but there's also, you know, somebody who's not going to take any crap. I think that's the one thing that you like about him. And the other thing with Jim Sterk is this, and people will say, oh, why did you hire a search firm to go out and get the guy who everybody knew that was going to happen? Basically, they knew that this was the guy from day one. I mean, they basically zeroed in. They talked to him before even they played their NIT game and had a basic understanding of where the situation was. I think, too, he's a good recognizer of when somebody is in a situation that they want to get out of. I think with Konzo and that whole situation at Cal, I know they hired a chancellor who's not very big in the sporting realm. So there was probably going to be some scaling back in terms of funding toward the programs there at Cal. And I think, too, when you look at what he brings to the table, yeah, he didn't necessarily have the roots when it comes to, you know, actually working in the business in here. But, you know, he's got a wife who's native to here. And obviously the situation involving him is that you could tell he really wants to make this athletic program very, very successful. The donations have been significantly up since he's been in tow as well. He's gotten a lot of funding for the new football project that's going to go in. I think he has really done a fantastic job in, to use the word again, transcend this athletic program and take it to the next level.
Will Polajic joining us here on the Winning Streak listener line. All right, Will, the NCAA tournament starts like now. Any thoughts from you? Who should we be looking out for? Who's in your bracket that you feel like is going to make a little bit of a run, one of our Cinderella or two that you might have in your bracket this year?
I'm kind of an outlier when it comes to a lot of people who I've talked to. I know a lot of people are picking a lot of upsets this year. My bracket, as it sits right now, is very, very chalky. I would be wary of these teams that are talked about as great defensive teams like Virginia and SMU. I know that people have them going on long runs. Basically, when your identifier in the NCAA tournament is a team that plays defense well, that's basically a political way of saying you don't know how to score. So in my opinion, the one thing that makes this tournament what it is guard play, and a lot of times it comes down to experience and how you handle the fatigue of playing as many games in a particular situation as you do in this tournament. It's a much different thing. A lot of these environments, too, you have to create your own atmosphere. Very, very few of these teams get to play high-level games close to home. You don't necessarily have the luxury like Kansas does with playing their games right down the road in Sprint Center, especially when they get to the regional semifinal and final level. I like teams near the top. I like Villanova. I like Kansas. I think not enough people are giving UCLA enough credit, especially because of the fact that it seems like the Lonzo Ball discussion seems to be the main thing that they're associated with. And to me, you know, they're just not giving enough credit to the player himself. He is a very big talent. I think Kentucky is a team that can either lose tomorrow, or they can win the whole darn thing. So, I mean, it's basically so big with them. I think that if you're looking at some of these 5-12 upsets, I don't necessarily like Notre Dame-Princeton. That's the first game that's up there. People like Minnesota, Middle Tennessee. I don't like that one really much either. I think if you're going to see upsets, I don't want to say that there's going to be few and far between, but they won't be the ones everybody's expecting.
That's Will Polajic joining us here on the Winning Streak listener line. I know you've also been sort of plugged in and paying attention to NFL free agency. I know in St. Louis, you know, without the Rams and without a team to root for, the interest level has dropped a little, but there's still a lot of hardcore football fans here. What are your thoughts so far on what's happened in NFL free agency? Anything jump out at you that a team has markedly improved or markedly gotten worse?
I would say you love what Jacksonville did. They spent a lot of money on that defense last year, and they're continuing that trend this year with Calais Campbell and A.J. Boye, who they took here locally in Houston. I find it interesting that the number one defense in the league lost 3 starters off that unit, including Boye and John Simon, and they also shed what happened, the whole quarterback situation with Brock Osweiler. It depends on what happens there with the Tony Romo situation. I think that's still at least the most fascinating storyline of the offseason. I think what Cleveland is doing to stockpile their draft picks is very, very smart, given what they at least have to deal with over the next couple of years. they're still a couple of years away from competing, but they have 22 draft picks over the next 2 years. So that'll be something that's very, very curious to see. And you also, you have to look at the top. New England basically got very, very young at positions where they were aging. They added Mizzou product Coney Ealy. They added Stephon Gilmore. And they signed Dante Hightower on basically a discount from basically where the Jets were looking at. They were looking at probably giving him $12 million average annual value. He signs for $2 million less on the average annual value, more guaranteed up front. But I find it interesting that that they're able to make that deal happen. And that basically tells you that the Patriots are not only interested in competing this year, but they're also interested in competing for the future. And they still hold that little ace in the hole of Jimmy Garoppolo. Whether or not they want to use him or trade him, it's a very, very attractive carrot to have if you're Bill Belichick and the Patriot organization.
Do you feel like Kirk Cousins will stay put in Washington?
I feel like they're kind of in a limbo right now. I think Washington is looking for a suitor, despite what they're saying publicly and despite even what they've told him behind the scenes. It's hard to trust anything that comes out of the mouths of Bruce Gilbert, or of Bruce Allen, rather, and Dan Snyder, because it seems to me that they will basically go as far as they can to smear whoever, and that's evidenced, of course, by what they did to Scott McLuhan last week. I was in Washington while that all went down, and to be brutally honest, they're a laughingstock right now. I don't see how you hold on to him. I think he's a great quarterback, but it just does not seem to me like he wants to stay there long-term. If he would want to stay there long-term, he would have signed a long-term contract this offseason. The Redskins didn't want him last offseason when they could have had him for about $40 million guaranteed. They're already going to pay him with a combined franchise tag of this year and last, $44 million, and that's just for 2 years. They could have had him for 3 years and 40 guaranteed up front. But to me, they're doing themselves a very big disservice of what they're doing with the quarterback position. Either they go with Kirk for a year and then try and go next year in the draft, or they think that Colt McCoy is the future. It baffles me what they're doing with that position. If they can get Kirk to sign a long-term deal, you sign it, because Kirk Cousins basically, I wouldn't say he's necessarily the truth, but he keeps you from having to rebuild. And if they're going to have to rebuild, if he's not on their roster beyond 2017.
Will Polajic joining us here in the Hollywood Casino press box on the Winning Streak listener line. Hey, you mentioned Romo as well before I let you go. It sort of felt to me like Tony Romo was just going to end up getting released. And then Brock Osweiler got traded and the Cowboys sort of stepped back and said, wait a minute, if they can trade Osweiler, then we should be looking at suitors for partners in a trade for Tony Romo. Is that accurate or no?
The thing with Romo is this, and I've talked to multiple people about this over the last couple of days. Basically, the Broncos and the Texans are the only real suitors for Tony Romo, and they're both standing and putting a line in the sand saying, listen, we do not feel like trading for him is going to give us the best value, especially with the contract that he has. The only way that they would do it is if there was a restructured contract involved and a lot of deferred money that comes out of that. To me, with Tony Romo, it basically is going to have to come down to the Cowboys releasing him, because neither the Broncos nor the Texans want to give up assets for him. They basically are having a big staring contest with the folks in Frisco, Texas, at the Dallas Cowboy headquarters, just basically saying, okay, go ahead and trade him. Because they don't believe that the Cowboys will be able to find a trade partner outside of those two, and neither of them want to give up assets for him because of the fact that the Texans have already given up some money of their assets in free agency. They've cleared a lot of cap space to basically bring on Tony if he does hit the free agent market. And the Broncos, while they're not necessarily comfortable with Trevor Siemian, they're comfortable enough moving forward with him if they don't get Tony Romo.
National radio host Will Polajic joins me. Hey, Will, tell everyone about the new podcast you started with over at in Columbia, KTGR's Matt Michaels. You are a KTGR alum as well, and you and Matt have started a new podcast. Tell everyone about that.
It's interesting because we'd kind of been looking for the opportunity to do this for a while. Ever since I left Columbia, I still have a lot of people who I keep in touch with there who say, oh, you know, we miss you on the air and forgot, you know, Matt does a fantastic job with Jeff Parles there locally there. And I would never want to do anything to upstage them and upstage their growth. But Matt and I basically have worked very well together. We know each other since college, and we started a new podcast last week. It's called Turn It Loose. It's available on SoundCloud. You can check it out on my Twitter, at Willie P. Style. I have the links there for all three episodes. We just recorded an episode last night after the coaching search was announced, and have a real, real great discussion about not only what that means for Mizzou, but what it could mean for Michael Porter Jr. and Michael Porter Sr. coming back to Columbia. Trying to get it on iTunes as well. We're in the waiting process, if you will, to try and get it on iTunes as well. But it's on SoundCloud. If you have SoundCloud, just download the app. It's called Turn It Loose, and it's on my Twitter, at Willie P. Style.
Two talented guys, man. I love Matt Michaels. Every time I'm in Columbia, or if I'm looking for something to listen to while I'm at the office late in the afternoon, I'll click on that big KTGR big show. I used to do it when you were there, and I used to tune it into you when you were on Yahoo. So it's real good to see you guys or hear you guys. You guys do a great job, and I'm excited about your new venture.
Thank you. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it, and excited about what you guys are doing too at 590. I love the fact that you guys have kind of rebranded that station, and I love listening to it.
Awesome. Will, thanks for joining us. You're the man.
Always a pleasure, Randy. Thank you.
All right, man. Will Pelagic joining us here on the Winning Streak listener line. He's a good guy, knows his stuff, and be sure to check out the Turn It Loose podcast with him and KTGR's Matt Michaels. They'll record one or two a week, and you can go to SoundCloud to find it. Turn It Loose is the name of the podcast. You're listening to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. When we come back, we're going to break down Hoff's bracket, Schaefer's bracket, and my bracket, if you care, right here on 590 The Fan.